I've only ever had one cat in my life. Welcome to the Arizona State Massage Therapy Board. The Arizona State Massage Therapy, the board president reserves the right to change the order of items at any agenda except for public hearings set for a specific time. During the board meeting and upon a vote of the majority of the quorum, the board may go into executive session. She's on the phone, right? Okay. So accept the same to obtain legal advice from the board's attorneys pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute ARS 38-431.03A3 on an agenda items listed on the agenda. All meeting attendees whose presence is not required in the executive session will be required to leave the meeting room during executive session. Any and all legal action will take place in open session. So, call to order. So, we've called to order. Call to the public. Pursuant to ARS 38-431-01H, the board may make an open call to the public during the public meeting, subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions, to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during the open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask for the matter to be put on a future agenda. So we have calls to the public, and we have the one first.
Ruth Stevens.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's her.
Go ahead, Ruth.
Hi, Ruth.
Okay. Hi. Thank you for letting me attend this meeting on telephone. I truly appreciate not having to drive down from Prescott. Okay. My issue...
Ma'am, excuse me. Could you just state your name for the record?
Oh, sure. My name is Ruth Stevens. And I've been a licensed massage therapist since 1980. Which makes it a lot of years, 39 years this year. And my biggest issue is I'd really like to see a cutoff for CEUs. At this point, there is really nothing more than I want to learn. I'm coming down towards the end of my career, and I'd like to slow down some. And frankly, taking classes and traveling at this point is getting harder and harder to afford. But I really do think that, like, one of the classes I could take for credits is toe reading, and I can't think of any more worthless class than that. At this point, I don't feel like I would benefit. I don't feel like my clients would benefit from me taking any more classes. At this point, I feel like the only people that would benefit would be the school, because I'd be taking classes merely for credits and not probably using the information. The other part of this that I would also like to have you consider is the possibility of creating a conduit for doing an internship. For example, after taking cupping therapy, it would have been great to have an internship with my cupping instructor and follow him around for a week and then get credit for it. I think that as far as an internship goes, it should be after taking a class and with an authorized instructor. I'm not an authorized instructor. I don't think anybody should take an internship with me. But I do think that that is a provision that we should allow for. And those are my two points in particular.
And we appreciate that. I know the concept of tenure.
Can't discuss this with us.
Okay. So, thank you. So.
You're welcome. I appreciate attending.
Taken into consideration. So,
I would ask if there's any more call to the public.
Any more call to the public?
Yes.
Okay, and I'll just go ahead and sign off and say thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, come into the microphone. You don't have to sit down, but speak into the microphone. You can sit down if you choose.
So my name is Scott Price. Y'all can hear me? Okay. I'm going to take a quick moment and just focus on my health issues as a background. If you could pass these pictures down real quick. So if you look at my left hand, you see it's all emaciated, slightly clawed on the left hand. This happened 13 years ago. Clawed, paralyzed, stuck over my head. 2 years later, I lost the grip strength in my right hand as the vertebrae above it ruptured. If you use two pictures, you can leave one on one end and one at the other. I've been seeing Dusty for 11 years. Over the past 7 years, my back, that back you see there, that was taken in Dusty's studio. That gross contortion, all the surgeons wanted to rush me in and fuse my whole spine with rods, saying I was possibly going to lose everything below my waist. If I didn't have Dusty to turn to tell me that these doctors are being a little aggressive, I would not be standing here. I would probably be fully disabled as I thought I would. They told me I should have been from the first injury. So I guess just to speak of trauma and shaking, my body convulsed, like you can imagine having four compromised limbs, that sort of nerve damage. My body is shaken and convulsed hundreds of times in therapy. And this woman has patiently and lovingly held space for me with the utmost respect. Two examples I'll give you very recently. Again, I've known her for 11 years, so once a week, that's, let's call it 500 sessions I've had with her. Every single time she's given me respect and completely taken care of me. The two recent examples I'll cite, one, she was doing some work on me. She said, stand up, walk around a little, let me just see how it looks. So I stand up, and I'm in my boxes, and I'm, where is she? She's over in the corner, like, looking away from me, completely turned my back to me so that she cannot see me at all. Just completely respectful of me. Wouldn't even, like, as I got off the table, she just needed to be there. So I just thought that was incredibly respectful. Beyond that, the one that really speaks to integrity to me is that this hand that's been emaciated for 13 years, science says after 48 months you can't get it back. Well, Dusty found a machine that can help me heal this and directed me to them on November 28th this past year. This hand is starting to come back. And the reason I think it's so germane is she sent me to another place that very might heal me and that might take away from her business. So to me, this woman is incredibly professional, incredibly empathetic, and just a tremendous credit to the massage board. One final thing. So I came from New York. When I first got here, I must have interviewed 25, 30 physical therapists before I found even one to work with me. So this woman has fallen above many of her peers that I personally work with. Thank you for your consideration.
And we do.
So for the record, that was 19-135. He was speaking about that therapist.
And just for the record, I know there's several that would like to do that. I mean, if you do, we really need to keep it really short. But you also need to know that it's not really taken into account right now because it still hasn't been, the case hasn't even been, the investigative file hasn't even been moved yet.
I briefed them early.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So what could I have done better? What did I do wrong?
No, you were fine. You were great.
Fine.
You were great.
Yeah. So, let's go. let's go. Is there any more call to publics? State your name and.
Absolutely.
Keep it short.
My name is Catherine Perlman. I'm a friend and colleague of Dusty Van Tilburg, and I'm here to speak on her behalf, I'm here to speak in support of her regarding these accusations. I've been a licensed massage therapist since 2004, and for the past 10 years licensed in the state of Arizona. I've known Dusty since 2014. I met her at a retreat where we were both offering body work, and I instantly found a friendship with this great woman. During the time I have known her, I have received body work from her personally multiple times. She is a woman of extraordinary gift for healing touch. I have had the pleasure of speaking with other clients who feel the same about Dusty. She is a beloved practitioner. When she took a long international trip in, I believe, 2015, she requested me to see her clients in her absence so they would not have to go without the work they needed. She cared enough to have her clients taken care of while she was away. And it was a smart move, but even then, some clients did not come. They preferred to wait for her to come back. And I understand why. Dusty is a one-of-a-kind practitioner and extremely gifted. I worked with her clients in her studio for those 3 weeks, and I know intimately why people go to see her, why they have stayed with her for years as their practitioner, what her workspace is like, and most importantly, the integrity with which she works with clients. Dusty's massage studio is a beautiful and peaceful studio that people feel comfortable in. I'm going to clip some of this because I know you want to keep it short and not, you know, try to add to it. But most importantly, what I'd like to say is that she's gone to great lengths in her years as a practitioner to continue her education and excel at what she does. She works harder and smarter than any therapist that I know. She's devoted and dedicated to her clients in a way that is inspiring and far surpasses an average therapist. She has, in fact, been a solid go-to person for me in terms of professional advice, shaping my practice when I moved to Phoenix, inquiry into modalities and approaches, and, yes, ethical conduct. I have shared conversations of appreciation about Dusty from her clients, and I know that some of them have expressed to me that her work has changed their lives, as you heard the last speaker talk about, in exceptional ways. For me, it is absolutely impossible to believe the accusations against her. My heart goes out to the couple who decided to create these allegations, that they would be suffering that greatly to weave a story together like this. I'm furious for my friend that she has to go through this in order to prove her innocence, her professionalism, her ethical standards, and her sense of integrity, but I have no doubt that she can and she will. Thank you for letting us speak today on her behalf. I genuinely hope she will be seen for the ethical, professional, and upstanding practitioner that she is.
Can you keep it short? I just want to share that we can't, I mean, you're being heard, but yet at the same time, this isn't the...
Okay. I'll be very quick. My name is Judy Zimmett. My name is Judy Zimmett. I'm an attorney for the victims of Dusty. And when I was talking to you guys on the phone, Andrew White, you told me that this was a hearing, there'd be no testimony taken. My clients didn't need to be here. So this surprises me that this is coming up as part of the record, because my impression is this information would come in later. So I just want to formally object to this apparent testimony being taken.
Virginia? Okay. One more. Keep short.
Good morning. I'm Tara Shad, and I have a multifaceted relationship with Dusty Van Tilborg. I am her patient, I am her friend, and I am her landlord and co-worker. It's my honor to sit here and speak on her behalf. I also have been a patient of the attorney who just stood up and claimed as victims. I woke up this morning probably feeling quite fiery, like many of the people sitting behind me who are here to speak on her behalf. I felt obligated to defend her and these ludicrous accusations. And then I was listening to a podcast, probably divinely orchestrated on my drive here, in which one of the things that the speaker said was, how can this circumstance invite more compassion inside of my heart. And I realize that your job as a board is to keep the public safe. And how can I come in here and speak to you in a way that doesn't defend my friend, but tell you and encourage you to know that I believe that the public is safe? I've known Dusty since 2010 or 2011, and was introduced to her work by a boyfriend who referred me to her, not for body work, but to say, have you seen Dusty? She's known not only for her body work, but because of the space she creates and the availability for her patients to truly heal from the inside out. And what I experienced in her studio far exceeded massage, but an opening and an understanding of how emotions and trauma can be healed through the work that she does on the table. Professionally, I work with her. Professionally, I am the founder and executive director of a nonprofit that has been in existence for 20 years, and we work with people that have tremendous trauma, sexual, physical, emotional trauma. We see between 250 and 300 clients per week that are coming to us to heal from this trauma. On many occasions, I have referred clients to her that have such extensive trauma that I don't feel that we're able to reach it at a verbal level. And I have referred both male and female to her, one of which has paralysis conditions and sits in a wheelchair and would be unable to defend himself in an effort to be able to have Dusty work on them. And her work has enabled them to heal and make progress in their life and to heal from this trauma. And I would not do that if I felt at any moment she was going to use her power to make them, to put them in a position of vulnerability. It is my professional obligation to do that. And so I realize that today is a day about compassion, to speak to the integrity of Dusty, and also to encourage the board to understand that there's a differentiation and a discernment between professional and personal, and to know that I hope that the people that are making the accusations against her have the courage to come forward and to heal from the trauma that must have triggered something in them that this needs to be healed from.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take one more. Everybody knows.
Make this short.
This is not the case.
No, I appreciate it. My name is Ashton Wolfswinkle. I'm
short.
Also here to support Dusty.
What's the name again?
Ashton Wolfswinkle.
Wolfswinkle.
I know the accusers personally. I just want to echo my support for Dusty, as the 10 or so people here and countless people here that I know that love her work and love her as a person. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Can we move on?
They should all be allowed to speak if they want to.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it's the call. That's the purpose of the call to the public.
Okay.
You're welcome to come up.
Just trying.
Very brief. Good morning. My name is Stephanie Goodman. I am here today in support of Dusty Van Tilborg. I am a member of the public, and I have been a client of Dusty's for 7 years. I have a weekly standing appointment, and knowing Dusty as I do, I am shocked at the allegations against her. Dusty is not only the most talented therapist that I have ever been to, but she is also the most professional. She is a master at bodywork, and she is extremely respectful of privacy and personal space. I have recommended dozens of both men and women to her over the years, and each and every person said it was the best massage they ever had and they wanted to go back. To show my level of trust in her, she has worked on my own husband, my son, my daughter, and my father-in-law, who also has a standing appointment. They've all been back numerous times, and they've all had positive experiences. Dusty is not a threat to the public or to anyone. Instead, she is a valuable asset to this board and has done nothing but heal and help the members of the public for her entire career. Thank you.
Yeah.
My name is Tawny Calvet, and I'll respect your request to keep this very brief. I just want to say I'm here with my husband. We're both we're patients of the accusers, and I've been a customer of Dusty's for 8 years. I was there the day she received the accusation, the letter, the complaint in the mail, and to say she was in shock is an understatement. To say I was furious is an understatement. There was very little truth, and I think it's important that you guys are listening to all the facets of this case because she is a gift to our community and in no way a threat to the public.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? If not, we're going to move on. Item number 3, Declaration of Conflict of Interest. Thank you, everybody, too. Declaration of Conflict of Interest?
None that I'm aware of.
You know what I did forget to do, though? We need to do a roll call.
No, we didn't.
Bill Beard.
Victoria Bowman.
John Ortega.
Earl Dusky. So we do have a quorum, and we're ready to go. Should we go ahead and move over?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the minutes of the open session from December 17th and the open session minutes from December 20th.
Victoria Bowman, I second.
You didn't call that item on the agenda.
I didn't call the item yet. I was asking.
We have two visitors here. Ms. Williams from the Attorney General's Office for the Lugano hearing that was set for 9:30, and I understand Mr. Bustamante is here from the Department of Administration for quite a matter on the agenda. So,
okay. How long is that going to take?
Up to you guys.
Do we have to?
So it's on the agenda. There's a line here.
No, Mr. Lozano, I don't believe is here.
Is Frank Lozano present?
No.
No? So, but you can still conduct the hearing in his absence because he's been notified of the meeting. And then agenda item I is the one that Michael was referencing to on page 3 of the agenda is my replacement. And some of it can be done in executive session or may need to be done in executive session, but I don't know what your plans are with that. Michael probably knows this better than me, but essentially on December 20th, you guys had a special meeting to basically appoint Earl and Victoria as kind of leaders of the executive director search and to do the interviews. They found a candidate. I'll just shut up, actually, and let you call an item. But that's what's happened, so.
Frank Lozano? And so the item is we're doing item 5A, formal hearings. 1, Frank Lozano. This is the date, time, and place where the matter dealing with Frank Lozano, case number 16-129, is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Massage Support Therapy. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint of the notice of hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there is any violations of the board's statutes and states and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present for this hearing are
Bill Beard,
Victoria Bowman,
John Ortega,
Earl Dusky. So, let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint and notice of hearing. Respondents answer if one filed, all pleadings of record. Will the parties please identify themselves, first the state and then the respondent?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Michael Rain on behalf of the state.
And Mr. Chair, if you can skip down to it's item 3 under where it says the respondent did not appear and just have staff put on the record that
to confirm if he was properly served.
Yeah. Review the file to determine if this event was sent. Mr. White?
Yes, it was sent on
11-18-2018. Okay. Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes.
Okay. A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. Then the respondent shall present their case. After it hears all the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary actions. And I don't have anybody to swear in, right?
Mr. White.
Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Okay. Before hearing testimony from witnesses, are there any preliminary matters the board should consider?
I will just note, Mr. Chair, members of the board, that the state has passed out two exhibits in a stapled packet. One is the order that this board issued in 2016 involving Mr. Lozano, and item two is Mr. Lozano's answer to the complaint notice of hearing. The order required Mr. Lozano to obtain some continuing education within a set period of time, and Mr. Lozano's answer acknowledges the order in the first paragraph that it exists and that it put those specific requirements on him, and then it goes on to, in no uncertain terms, admit that he hasn't performed those activities. So I plan to ask Mr. White just to very briefly provide the minimal foundation here for these two documents, and then we'll ask you to issue an order to suspend Mr. Lozano's license at a minimum until compliance. But it's a really short case, and I just wanted to let you know that's why I'll be brief. There's no dispute. We anticipated that Mr. Lozano might come and describe why it was that he has acknowledged he didn't comply with the order, but without him here, we won't know, and so I'll be very brief.
Okay.
And that can be my opening as well. At least then we get to that part in the script.
Ready?
So you want to proceed to the state's case?
Yeah. So you're calling your...
I wasn't aware you were ready there.
Yeah,
The state would call Investigator Andrew White. And Mr. White, are you familiar with Mr. Lozano's case?
Yes.
Okay. And Exhibits 1 and 2, I know I've given you a copy of these to look at. Are you familiar with these two documents?
Yes.
Okay. And Exhibit 1, is this an order that the board issued against Mr. Lozano in 2016?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And have you discussed his compliance with this order with him?
Yes.
Okay. Does he acknowledge that he has not complied, or did he acknowledge to you that he had not complied with the order?
Yeah, on paper and by phone.
Okay. And Exhibit 1 is, to your knowledge, a true and correct copy of the board's order?
Yes.
Okay. And then Exhibit 2, have you seen this document before today?
Yes.
Okay. What is this that we're looking at, Exhibit 2?
This is his response to the order that was letting him know that he was being in violation of the board's first order, and his response was he acknowledged that he failed to follow the board's order, and he turned in some CEs that had nothing to do with what the board ordered.
Okay. Does he acknowledge in here that he's done some continuing educations, but as he phrases it, these were the standard CEs?
Yes.
His renewal CEs?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Chair, I would ask that the board admit into evidence Exhibits 1 and 2.
Anything? Just so be it?
So admitted.
So admitted.
I have no further questions for Mr. White.
Okay.
And the state would rest. I would like to make a brief closing.
So you rest?
Yeah.
Okay. There's no closing arguments. Having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board now will discuss the case. More general discussion to entertain.
Mr. Dusky, I did want to make just a very brief closing.
Oh, okay.
Provide you a guideline. And I apologize. I'll be very brief. It's a simple case. You issued an order, required 24 continuing education units for a violation of having sexual activity with a client. He was given 12 months to do that. As his answer says, he didn't do it. He has reasons, and it sounded like they were financial, but it's been since, you know, late 2016. And that's, you know, obviously maybe an excuse, but it's not a justification. He didn't receive any extensions from the board that you're aware of, at least in this hearing, or that he's mentioned in his answer. And so having received this much time, you know, perhaps you might consider a suspension of Mr. Lozano's license until such time as he has complied. And for him to come back to the board and demonstrate that he's complied and to request to be lifted, have that suspension lifted. The complaint sets out allegations of fact and alleged violations of law. There being no real dispute about those facts, even in Mr. Lozano's answer and him having not appeared today, we would ask that you consider a motion to adopt as your findings of fact the state's allegations of fact, and to adopt as your conclusions of law the state's alleged violations. You may also consider revocation. It was a violation of sexual activity with a client, which is a serious issue. Mr. Lozano didn't comply with the order, but he also hasn't appeared today, which I think is a sign that you might consider. But that said, I think your job could be quite simple when I'm done, is to just adopt the state's complaint allegations as your conclusions, and then your job will be really to consider what to do about this, especially having not heard from Mr. Lozano with any justifications other than he just couldn't afford it. Thank you.
Now we do that. Having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence, the arguments of the parties, the boards will now discuss the case. The board can just general discussion and entertain motions. The first item for discussion is the findings of fact. Fact allegations on pages 2, fact,
3 and 4.
Yes, on page
3 and 4.
3 and 4.
In your packet, it's 21.
Okay. Factual allegations. The board will now discuss whether the state has proven these allegations.
Victoria Bowman, I move the board find that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence the factual allegations in the complaint. I move the board adopt these allegations as the board's findings of fact.
Bill Beard, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second discussion is conclusion of law.
Victoria Bowman, the complaint makes conclusions of law. I move that the board find that the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statute set forth in the complaint and adopt these alleged violations as the conclusions of law.
Bill Beard, second.
Okay. Discussion?
All in favor?
In turn, go.
Just to vote on the conclusions of law.
Conclusions of law, sorry. First and second?
Done.
Yes. First and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm moving ahead of myself.
Now the order.
In our discussion, what is the difference in ramifications between suspension and revocation?
A suspension is more of a temporary sanction, as Mr. Rain argued you could consider a suspension until such time as Mr. Lozano demonstrates compliance with the board order. And then when he comes back to you and demonstrates compliance, then you could lift the suspension. You could give him a time frame to comply, and then if he does not, after that, you could impose a revocation. If you revoke the license today, then he would no longer have to comply with the outstanding order. That's a final. You're taking his license away. But if you want to give him another opportunity but make sure he's not practicing, then you can do a suspension pending his compliance.
Suspension seems appropriate.
It does.
I like the suspension with the time frame, though.
Okay, what's the time frame?
He hasn't renewed, has he?
No.
And so we have, is it 3 years on renewal that they can come back with a paid penalty?
Period.
Right.
I haven't complied, so.
Well, he did his regular 24.
Right, he did his regular 24.
And that was completed when?
Relatively.
Oh, he's expired.
Recent? It's on that back page.
No, this is summer of last year.
Yeah. He's had a whole year to do the other.
2 years.
Give him 6 months.
So,
sure.
I'm going to let Mary speak, but I'll just give you a couple of facts and then let Mary speak. So his license expired 8/23/18. So technically, he can't practice as a licensed massage therapist now. But as Vicky was saying, he could come back anytime between 8/23/18 through 8/23/21. He pays different fees based on the time when he comes back, but he can always come back and renew. So. That may change your decision on suspension versus revocation. He's not practicing under shouldn't be practicing under an expired license. I don't know that he is or isn't.
Yeah, if.
So if he has a suspension, I mean, if we suspended him.
His license is expired.
Yeah, it's suspending a license that's not current.
Right. But we couldn't. How could we keep him from happening to comply on an expired license?
Well, he wouldn't. If you revoke him, that just goes on record then that he's revoked. He's already expired, so I'm assuming he didn't have an interest in renewing. It just puts on your record that you've adjudicated this case. And then if I don't know that this board has a time frame to get revoked, is there a limitation on coming back?
I think it's 5 years.
Okay. So then he would not be able to come back for 5 years once you revoke. But generally, to suspend an expired license, that's not usually done.
Right.
Right.
And he will have an opportunity to file a petition for rehearing after your decision today.
But if he filed and he came back, this would be still pending, and he wouldn't be able to, he just wouldn't be given a license then, right? Even if he paid the fees.
No, after 5 years, he could just come back.
Okay.
None of this would matter.
After 5 years, but I mean, if he came back next year.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, but to your point, if we revoke today and say 3 months from now he wants to come back and file to renew.
He can't.
Review the hearing.
Right.
Review the results of today's
30
hearing?
Days from
oh, it's 30
the
days.
Order
okay.
goes
All right.
out.
That's
yes.
right.
So
okay.
he does have another step. So if he was to come forward at that point, you could consider the arguments in his petition for a rehearing.
My question is, if we didn't revoke it, he could come back and pay the fines, but would this still be pending so that it would be under investigation anyway?
Yes. Yeah, so today's the day that you have to take action one way or the other.
Right. So if we were to suspend it through 8/23/21.
You're suspending a license that's not current.
Right. Yeah. Well, we can just suspend it without a time frame.
Well, if you put an indefinite suspension,
it's kind of it's hard because doesn't have an active license. So you could.
Are we really suspended?
If he had an active license, then doing a suspension until he complies. But right now, he doesn't have a license.
And can we really revoke, or the revoke will just put the five-year waiting period in there?
Yeah, it would just be 5 years.
I mean, he was noticed of this hearing. He did not come today. He's aware of the issue.
I would go for a revoke. Anybody?
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move we revoke the license of Mr. Frank Lozano, case number 16-129.
Any second?
Victoria Bowman, I'll second.
Okay. Roll call.
Bill Beard, aye.
Victoria Bowman, aye.
John Ortega, no.
Earl Dusky, aye.
Finish the script.
Okay. Anything else you need to do?
All right. Are you done? This concludes the hearing.
Final issue for the report. For the board is
page 7.
This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights and will be explained in the board's order. This concludes the matter. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Last point.
Now
we're going to jump to.
Do we want to do the exec?
What's that?
We want to do I so that the department administration person can go?
Yeah. This recommends a executive session. So we're going to move to.
Mr. Chairman, I move to executive session. Bill Beard.
Wait. Call the item first. Sorry.
I was just getting ready to do that. Okay. We're going to jump to item 5I for the executive director. Do we want to run to executive? Would you recommend that?
Well, if you're going to conduct an interview, can
or ask questions
that, of the candidate, you could do that in executive session. That was what I anticipated. And then item 2 is really the selection. I2 is really the vote or the decision on whether to hire the candidate. And for that, you could go into executive session, and it's recommended, at least for a brief one. Mr. Bustamante is here with some HR expertise. He could be invited into executive session to describe for you or help in any way that he's available to do so. Is it the terms of employment or any offer you might make or some of the HR issues that might arise that you may have questions about? But that's the basic process. Anticipated that you go into executive session to discuss and meet with the candidate, come back out, decide whether you have a consensus or a majority to take action one way or the other, and make an offer. And you can go back into executive session, meet with Mr. Bustamante in terms of if there's questions about that offer that you might need to answer. Now, you don't need to go into executive session for any of it. Those would be the purposes of the executive session.
You guys want to do interviews?
Due diligence, that's the only reason I would encourage it.
So do we really need it?
I don't think we need it, but,
Okay.
I think our due diligence has been done.
Okay. Mm-hmm. John, good? So, conduct an interview of the executive director position. The candidate is Tom, or do I bring?
It's again. Now is the time to do it under I-1A. Would be the time if you wanted to use executive session to conduct an interview or meet with the candidate, Tom Augerson. You could do that. You don't need to do that, per se, in executive session. If you don't have any reason to interview him, you did appoint this two-person task force or committee, for lack of a better term. They have, I understand, met with a number of candidates outside of the formal public meeting, and they have met with Mr. Utterton and are presenting him, the remainder of the board, as an option that they approve among the people you've met, if unless I got any of that wrong. So I would say that the interview, I suspect, is more for Mr. Beard or Mr. Ortega's benefit, having perhaps never met Mr. Ogerton, and might want to.
That was the main purpose of why I wanted to do it in executive session.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go say your executive session.
Yeah. I move we move into executive session for a brief time period to have a quick discussion with the potential applicant.
Okay. And is that under the agendized statute for 38431-03A1?
Yes.
Okay. And you're second it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 So you guys don't have to leave. We leave. So.
Excuse me. Does our HR person, he's welcome into the room as well?
Well, I don't know that I hadn't anticipated that for this part, but you can invite people into your executive session.
You do it all at the same time, maybe.
Kill two birds.
Okay.
Or do we need to come back and have a separate executive?
No.
Minding our legal P's and Q's.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to, then I'd ask you to revise your motion, because if we're going to talk about item I-2, which would be more of the terms, the problem is...
Can we talk about them both in the same executive session?
Well, no.
Without a motion.
Because... Mr. Ogerton doesn't have any relationship to the board at this point. I don't think he belongs in an executive session where you're meeting with your HR.
Gotcha.
Or receiving any legal advice from me.
We got to mind our P's and Q's.
I would just do
talk to him,
item.
Come back.
Okay.
Excuse us.
Come on, Tom.
Bring us back into formal session.
Okay. We're all back?
Yeah.
Back into formal session. Executive session is closed at this moment. Goodness, this is just an unorthodox day. So, 5I2, we're moving on to 5I2?
Yes.
Yeah, executive director, review, discussion, possible. But we don't really need to go into executive direction.
Only if you had questions for me, legal advice questions, or questions that Mr. Cusmante might be able to answer. I don't know of any, so I don't recommend it.
An offer has been made and accepted.
So we just move to...
You can make a decision. Someone could make a motion as to a decision under whether to offer the position.
Under item 2.
Under item I-2. Okay. And in terms of salary, it could be at a number discussed in the candidate. In
Victoria Bowman, I move that we offer the executive director position to candidate Tom Ogerton at the... salary discussed.
There was a discussion of what he had requested. Is that the one you're mentioning?
Yes, his counter.
Okay. Board members all aware of that?
Do we need a starting date?
Sorry. So the starting date, and maybe this is something for Luis to answer, but sorry, Luis, Mr. Bustamante. It has to go through a formal review through the governor's office. Luis could speak about this
subject
better.
Subject to.
That's already happened because this meeting was later than all of that has taken place. This is a formality. So he could start today. I mean, he's already put in his notice for all the other activities he's doing, anticipating that he would have started sooner, to be honest with you, so he could start almost immediately.
Subject to the background that will happen outside of the public.
Subject to immediate employment.
Bill Beard, second.
Do we need a roll call?
No, you don't.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Board.
Congratulations.
So,
So I-3 is dead then?
Yeah, I-3 is unnecessary.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we haven't even done minutes yet. No, we didn't do minutes, did we?
Okay. I made a motion, but you hadn't called it yet.
We have not done minutes.
Okay. Following through, this is number 4, review, discussion, and possible action of the board minutes, discussion and approval of open session minutes from December 17th, and discussion and approval of, can we do both of them at one time?
Someone could, yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move that we adopt the minutes as published for the December 17th and the December 20th, 2018 open session meetings.
Victoria Bowman, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. Okay. So, formal hearings is already done. We've already done 5, so we are going to move on.
The rehearing?
Rehearing. Rehearing of the board's formal interview decision pursuant to ARS R4-15-401. The board will rehear the formal interview to review, discuss, and take possible action on the following files. File number 18-121, Jose Ortiz. Is there a script on that?
I believe you do have a script for formal interview.
Formal interview.
Your books. It wouldn't be anything different. I mean, you've acknowledged it's a rehearing. Mr. Ortiz understands it's a rehearing. I understand that the original complainant, unless I'm mistaken, unless the complainant is present, but she is not present today, so you don't need to describe it for her. If you could just have an interview and discussion with Mr. Ortiz.
Okay. Motions for rehearing or review. Do I need to read all that?
You may.
Okay.
In case.
Under ARS 41-1092-09 and AAC R4-15-401, parties to the administrative proceeding before the Massage Board of Massage Therapy may request a rehearing or review of an administrative decision. A written motion must be filed within 30 days after service of the final administrative decision.
Yeah, this is not the correct...
Is that not the right one?
No. You've already granted rehearing, so this is just the time to do a new formal interview.
Oh.
In my book, it's B.
B?
B as in boy?
B as in boy.
E as in boy.
Script for formal interview, it says... Not at the top in bold. F3B in my book.
Oh, so it's same as a formal interview?
Yeah, that's what this is.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you had a formal interview and you granted rehearing, you're going to redo the formal interview.
Okay. It's the first time I've ever had done that. It is now 10:54 p.m. on the 28th day of January 2019. This is a formal interview regarding licensee Jose Ortiz, file number 18-121. Will the licensee come forward? Is there an attorney? So, Jose? Are you present with an attorney today?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Please state your name.
Jose Ortiz.
My name is Earl Dusky, chair of the board and professional board member. The other board members will now introduce themselves to indicate whether they are a consumer or professional board member.
Bill Beard. Public member, yes. Sorry.
Victoria Bowman, professional member.
John Ortega, public member.
Earl Dusky, professional member. You have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the formal interview, and a possible actions of the board may take. The purpose of this formal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case and decide the outcome. You will hear a brief summary of the case and then interview you. If you have any questions from the board or anyone giving information during the interview, you may ask them through me. If you choose not to participate in this formal interview, a formal hearing may be requested at this time. This proceeding is being recorded and to provide a record. It's being recorded, right? There's no court reporter, though.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Please give a summary of the case.
Mr. White.
It's not in the packet, your original investigative report, but that would have been what would have normally been
read. Oh, I got to square the licensee in, too.
I mean, I could be quite brief about it, but... Andrew has it.
I need to swear him in, too, don't I?
No, you will need to swear in Mr. Ortiz when he testifies, but Mr. White's just providing a summary of the allegation, just like we would for an initial interview.
MH alleged that licensed massage therapist Jose Ortiz violated ARS 32-4253, inappropriate touching, sexual assault, and improper draping.
Okay. Licensee, do you wish to make a statement to be available for any questions? Want to make a statement?
I'm innocent. I've been coming to you for a year now, trying to prove my innocence. I've been trying to explain that I did not cup this lady's breast. That my intentions were strictly professional. I massaged her pec in order to roll back her shoulders. A draping on her at all times. And the fact that I used a verbiage because I didn't understand whether she was going to understand pectorals, and I used the word breast, that was my fault. But in the year that I've been coming to you, you better guarantee that I will never use a non-clinical term again.
Mr. Ortiz, it might help the board because it's been a while for them. I know you've lived it a lot more immediately than they have. Could you describe for them a brief recollection of the encounter with MH technique like you had done in the previous hearing?
I can tell you from the very beginning.
Unless the board doesn't need to hear that, but I assume... it is a new hearing, so the things that have been said before do not apply unless you say them again and describe it for them. It wouldn't be part of the record in today's proceeding. So I think they would benefit from having you describe the techniques that you used that day.
Absolutely. When she came into the room, she said it had been a long time, and for me to do my magic, whatever I had to do. And I asked her, what areas would you like me to focus on? She said, full body. And I said, full body. She said, yes. I said, okay. And I left it at that. Normally, in the past, when she had come to me, she had lower back pain. So that's where I focused on the most, on about her right lower back towards her glute. So I was focused on that area and then did everything else. But when she said full body, I looked at her posture and everything, and I already mentally took notes of everything I was going to work on. So I left her alone in the room. She got undressed. I came back when she was ready, and I started her face down. I started on her shoulders. Excuse me if my voice sounds not feeling well. I started on her shoulders. I use Swedish techniques. I use pressure points. I use acupressure. I use deep tissue all over her back, including working on her lower back, because I knew that in the past that's where it had bothered her. And I continued down the glute, and I went down the legs, And when I got to the feet, I had her turn over. And all this time, I kept the drape properly. So when she turned over, I started at the feet. I used kneading for the most part of the feet. I used the back of my knuckles for her thighs and her legs and her IT band. And I kept going. And I got up to the hip area. From the hip, because her whole torso was covered, I went to the neck. I worked on her arms. I went to the neck, and I went behind her, and I began working right underneath her collarbone, on her pec, all the way to her deltoids, and I worked underneath it, and I basically did a set like that, and I used the tips of my finger to separate the pec from the sternum here, and then the whole time I kept the cover up, so I was working with my fingertips, I worked with the back of my knuckles, and I took the deltoid here, and I rotated the arm, and I pushed inside, and I worked on pressure points, and she was heaving, you know, chest was rising up and down, and I kept looking at the time because, A, she was my last client, and I wanted to make sure that I got out of there on time, and B, when she started heaving, I wasn't sure how to take it, but I always try to be mindful of where the massage is going. So there was about 4 minutes left. So in 4 minutes, I'm pretty much doing the same thing. And I'm like, I'm going to finish this. So I'm going to finish it with the stretching. We got time. I was saying that there's enough time. We're going to finish this. It was about the 3 minute mark when she said, she asked me, what am I doing? And I picked up my hands and I said, I'm giving you a pec breast massage. I wasn't sure which one she was going to understand. So she smiled and I was perplexed, and I asked her, are you okay? Are you uncomfortable? She goes, yeah, no, I'm okay. And I said, do you want me to continue? And she said, yeah. I said, okay. So I continued on the pec area, went to the shoulder, went to the serratus area as I worked again on the shoulder, and then came back around one more time. And then that's when I just stretched the neck, and I worked on the neck area, and I did stretches. And then at the end, I get up, and I do feathering to affect the nerves, I guess, like lymphatic massage, and bring the blood back to the heart. From the feet, I went all the way up, came back to the arms, went right over the collarbone, went underneath lightly, and then just dispersed the energy out. And then I looked at her and I said, are you okay? And she said, yeah. And I was like, how are you feeling? And she goes, fine. I said, okay, then take your time when getting up so that you don't get lightheaded. And she said, okay, but the energy has shifted in the room. I felt that. So I went, I put in the soap notes, everything that I had done, all the techniques. And when I brought her back water, she told me she didn't want it. And I said Merry Christmas to her. And then she said Merry Christmas, and then that was the end of that, up until the complaint. And when my manager asked me to describe what happened, I was so confident that I hadn't done anything wrong that I wrote it down in layman's terms. And I wrote everything that I'm telling you, basically. So I haven't changed my story and my techniques for a full body 90-minute. For 26 years, I've developed it so that it's always the same. And in 26 years, I had never been accused of this. I have 23 character witness letters right here. If you would like me to read you even one letter of one of my clients who was well endowed, much more well endowed than this client. with your permission, if that's okay with you.
It's up to you. You can accept those into the record or have him read them, or if you're not interested in them, you don't need to hear them.
Submit whatever he wants to, I guess.
You want to submit him in for...
Yes, I would evidence. Like to, yes.
Okay. Put those into evidence. Did you have anything more to say at this point?
No, I gave you the entire 90 minutes for massage.
Okay. Any of the board members want to begin questioning?
I have just a couple questions, and again, it's more just to bring my brain back up to speed on everything. To clarify, the complainant, you had seen her previously, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
And it was a couple of times or several times?
It had been about... I was there for 7 months, so I had seen her about four times.
Since this is a rehearing and we had imposed some disciplinary, I'm just curious, had you attempted to take any continuing education beyond what you were normally supposed to do as part of your license renewal?
Honestly, no. I disagreed with it. So I just wanted to wait until the ending of all of this.
And when would you renew? What's your renewal date?
2020, next year.
Next year?
But he had 12 months to get it done.
Right. I just, again, for clarity, it's like we hear too many different things.
Okay. Anybody else? What would you like? I mean, what outcome? Because you were basically given probation and 16 hours?
Yes, that's what he was given. Yeah. And 1 year to complete.
So... you want it just to go away?
Sir Chairman, with all due respect, I'm going to answer your question, sir. I've been doing this for 26 years. I would like the same respect that you gave, that the board gave the last therapist, whose case was so much worse than mine. And yet he had only been in this field for 2 to 3 years. And I have stood my ground to keep my name as professionally clean as possible for 26 years. I have given more than half of my life. I'm going to be 43 years old. I have given almost half of my life to this career. With no one who complained about me. This is a gift that I have to help heal. I would like the same treatment that that young man received, considering that it was worse.
Just to, again, clarify, you've been licensed in Arizona how long?
Since 2012.
2012. Okay. And for the record, Mr. White, has there been any other complaints against this license holder? Okay.
My previous question stands. If am I allowed to, if you like, for me to
Okay. You can bring those in.
Were they the same that you had had in the prior
yes.
interview? So the staff has those in the file, and we can make note that those were offered into this rehearing. Well, you're welcome. I mean, it's up to the chair conducting the meeting to decide if you want him to read any of them today. I understand you to have already said we'll accept those, but
yeah,
it's your.
But you already have them in file, and they've already been scanned in.
Well, yeah, and I understand from Mr. Ortiz that he had presented some of these when he had last had his formal interview. I remember some of them, or the their existence. And all I'm pointing out is we don't literally need to get copies again if it's the same stuff forward. Staff already has copies. I understand, unless I'm wrong.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to see copies of them right now?
No.
But they will be part of the formal interview record. I mean, if other board members have questions, now's the time. But if you're concluded with the formal interview, you can begin your deliberation. I could give you a quick refresher.
Do you have any
to your options?
Yeah. Do you have any additional remarks or at this time?
I've spent a year with you guys. I feel like I've said everything I've had to say.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just remind the board. It gets a little strange because this is your first, at least since I've been working with you, your first granting or rehearing, but really it's just a formal interview. It's as if the old one didn't happen when you voted to rehear the case. So under a formal interview, your statutes say that if this violation or alleged violation, well, I'll just read it word for word. If the board finds the information received during a formal interview is not of sufficient seriousness to merit suspension for more than 12 months or revocation, it may take one or more of the following actions. Dismiss, if in the opinion of the board the complaint is without merit, file an advisory letter, file a letter of reprimand, issue a decree of censure. And a decree of censure is an official action against the licensee's license. Fix a period of and terms of probation best adapted to protect the public health and safety. You're kind of aware of your general probationary term. You could a licensee's practice, could order the payment of restitution. You can issue an order of non-disciplinary continuing education. And if you think the issue and the information you've received are something that might warrant suspension or revocation, you could vote in that at a formal hearing. So you have non-disciplinary and disciplinary options. Non-disciplinary CE is a common thing you'll do as a non-disciplinary order. The other common thing you'll do that's not discipline. And then in terms of discipline, you can do everything that you normally can do short of suspension and revocation. Suspension for 12 months or revocation. For those, you need to then forward it formally.
Question. But since this is a rehearing, can't we just let our last decision stand also?
You would, in the sense that you could re-urge the same outcome. But it's a new hearing. The other hearing is a nullity, basically. You've said we're going to rehear it. Just like if you had a criminal case and declared a mistrial, the prosecution would have to come in and call all the witnesses again. They couldn't say, yeah, well, we heard all that last time. Now let's just jump to the deliberation. So now you have this record that was created today from which your decision would
stand. Yeah, but
what you argue, I'm the just order is in your packet. So you could, someone could make a motion for the same type of discipline.
It would seem that all a therapist would have to do is keep coming back until the complaint got tired and didn't show up, as has happened here, and then we're left with no case. It doesn't seem...
Well, it's not that Mr. Ortiz had a right to have this rehearing today. He made a motion for it that you granted because the board at that time felt that there was a reason to do the hearing over again. That he had. So I don't think it should be... This is a fresh formal interview, and you've heard what you've heard from Mr. Ortiz, and you know the nature of the complaint. I don't think you should really take into account the fact that you've already conducted the hearing.
Excuse me, may I ask a question?
It's up to the chair.
Yeah, go ahead.
Excuse me, Mr. Ortega, with all due respect, but do you think that I would seriously waste my time and energy and sleepless nights and lose a fiance to keep coming here to continue with the same lie?
Yes, I do.
I'm sorry that you feel that way. I'm sorry that maybe you might have taken that road, but I have more integrity than that.
Do you want to ask another question?
So again, now it's the time to deliberate on the outcome of this case based on what you've heard.
Right. Well, does the board have any other questions for him?
Well, I have a question in that we have a letter dated 29th of August, in which he states that there's newly discovered material evidence that could not, with reasonable diligence, have been discovered and produced at the hearing. And I was not here. I was absent for the actual hearing, and you were out of town for the
one after that.
When this came up. Okay. And we could not take that information at that time because it was not on the agenda that way. And so there is there is the statement that MH committed perjury under oath, that a false statement in relation to this material. And I believe that's why this was given a new formal interview.
Would you like, Mr. Ortiz, you remember the issue you felt that MH was not honest about that you brought up in your rehearing motion?
Yes.
But you could, do I understand you want him to describe?
I would like him to address that, yes,
yeah,
please.
Yes. Mr. Bill Beard had asked if my hands were above or underneath the drapes, and she claimed that they were underneath the drapes. But in the complaint that I got from the detective, she claimed that she wasn't draped at all, and that I have been cupping her breasts.
I don't mean to interrupt, but when you say detective, this was the police detective or someone from the...
The one who interviewed me over the phone.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
So I felt that she had changed her story. And as a person who's been through molestations and rape, I would never have forgotten a detail like that.
Questions? You're still thinking. You're pretty clear. Board will now deliberate. And we've already been told, so do I need to reread that again? All the
I don't know if anyone on the board wants to hear them again, but you have, essentially, you can't do anything more than suspend for less than 12 months or revoke. For that, you'd have to go to formal hearing. Otherwise, you have your full range of disciplinary,
probationary, or anything else, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Typically, you know, probation, continuing education that's disciplinary in nature, or non-disciplinary continuing education of a certain type, or your non-disciplinary letter, essentially with no continuing education requirement, or you can dismiss.
This is like a new case.
I think we were originally correct, so that's all I have to say about it.
Bill Beard, my difficulty is that there does seem to be a discrepancy between the original story, the facts presented by the complainant the one time, and then a different, you could call it a different flavor of interpretation the next go-round. That's always troubling, but the nature of these incidents being what they are, we're not a court of law in terms of, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, et cetera, et cetera.
It's preponderance.
And if I may, this it might help your discussion. The allegation is effectively that Mr. Ortiz engaged in sexual activity with a client, as that may have pertained to a breast massage. slowing down, just to remind you of the...
And he didn't get written permission.
Yeah, without written consent. But essentially massaging a client's breast at any point below the midpoint of the areola. And so he's described for you his massage. She had made a complaint that it was a breast massage. That would be the violation. If you were to find that would be the violation that would justify your discipline. You could also cite to ethics and other, but that's really the most focused statutory violation. If you don't believe that you have evidence, or you do, you should probably decide whether you have evidence to support a violation under that section. If you can't identify a statute that you believe is violated, then you wouldn't have grounds for discipline. So that could be your first task.
Good point.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chair, weigh in here, please.
Well, do we feel we have the evidence to move forward? And with what?
Hey, this is a horrible system doing it like this. Of course we don't have any evidence for the second name. All they need to do is keep coming back, I guess.
Hold on, you don't have evidence for...
No one is talking to you, sir. You do not need to be speaking, sir. No one is speaking to you.
You're not going to disrespect my name.
So, can we order... I didn't see that one on there. The CEs, but non-disciplinary?
Yep, that's within your authority. Basically, you have all your normal authority. Just
short of revocation.
And revoke. And so you could have non-disciplinary continuing education, or if you have want discipline, then it would be under a term of probation.
Mm-hmm.
You also have letter of, the terms are different in every agency, but essentially an advisory letter or a non-disciplinary letter that can be placed in the file without it requiring discipline. It's another non-disciplinary matter. Or you could have a disciplinary letter, a letter of reprimand, without additional requirements. I hope that helps. You could have disciplinary or non-disciplinary CE, or if you don't want any CE, you could still have a disciplinary letter in the file, or you could have a non-disciplinary letter in the file. You can dismiss, and you could... That seems to be about the range of what you're thinking of.
I'm using the original board order only as a point of reference for summarizing things here, so that's the only reason I'm referring to it. Do we still, based on what we know, do we still believe a violation occurred? I think that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, if it did, what do we do about it?
We have...
conclusion of law that we determined in the previous go-round, conduct described was grounds for discipline, engaging in an act or practice that violates board statutes. It's grounds for discipline. Engaging in sexual activity with a client as the term is defined, conduct described above constitute grounds for discipline. But failure to adhere to recognized standards and ethics.
If you read the complainant's letter, she wasn't having anything to do with this, or us anymore. And this is a new hearing now.
So you're saying if she's washed her hands, we should?
I'm not saying. I think this is
okay.
I think it's a terrible system. I mean, this particular procedure is terrible.
I would agree. Unfortunately, it's a system we got right now.
Yes. So my compromise is mine. Keep it at the 16 hours, but not this fine.
Okay. What are we going to... We need to find...
We need a motion.
But it has to be on something, though. And he did not get permission to do a breast massage, so that's stipulated.
Is that the hat you're...
It's the only one we have.
You're hanging your hat?
Okay. The only one we have.
And it was on ethics and communication. Does that sound...
Remember, if he doesn't like this, he can still request a formal hearing, correct?
You know, you'd have to articulate grounds for why this hearing met one of the elements for rehearing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't use, so we only have her current letter.
And the original complaint. It may not, it's not in my packet, but I believe the board members understand the nature of her complaint was that Ms. Ortiz massaged her breast without her consent.
Right.
And
in all, staying within the law.
And in all fairness, it was.
Mr. Ortega's. Yeah. So staying within the law, we're trying not to go back into that old one, but the original.
That was
complaint.
The original document that starts with that.
Right.
You can consider her allegations initially, which were, as Mr. White indicated, that he had engaged in a breast massage.
Do we need
and
to?
And I understand her statement here, and I understand, you know.
Do we need the three motions regarding established facts? Here's the conclusion.
No, I mean, I think the motion should just find that. Well, I think ideally you'd say which statute has been violated. That would be helpful. If you need a shorthand, I don't think, as long as Mr. Beard did before, indicating that he's using that passport order as a point of reference, not adopting its findings, someone could make a motion to cite the statutes that were cited in the prior board order, if that's
shorthand.
Or you could just look at the prior board order and pick the statutes that you think were proven to have been violated today, if any.
And with the non-disciplinary, would that apply to the probationary period, or
you wouldn't need any probation for a non-disciplinary?
We would just request 12 or 16 additional hours, correct?
Yeah,
still within a time frame.
And within a time frame, but also a non-disciplinary order. It's not really as important that you identify the statutes that have been violated, just in case if it can't hurt to educate Mr. Ortiz why he such an order, but it's a non-appealable, non-disciplinary order. So.
Yeah. Errol Dusky, make a motion. I'll make a motion, and given the fact that the original complaint stated breast massage, there was no breast.
There was no written complaint.
That I make a motion for 16 hours, 8 in ethics, 8 in communication.
Non-disciplinary,
though. Anything over there? Over a year prime time frame?
Last time it was to be completed within 12 months. Is that adequate?
And I would give it for 12 months again. And that's over and above normal, right? Yes.
In person or could it be webinar?
Excuse me. I just taken that prior to...
I'm okay with, and I don't... Correct me on the correct term of it, but when it's live, but you have to be present with the person. What do they call that?
It's a webinar or in person.
Okay.
Live, yeah.
Live webinar, yeah.
Live.
It doesn't have to be in person.
So, they know
board staff can approve those. Your standard terms: board staff pre-approval live or in-person webinar to be completed within 12 months, 16 hours, 8 in ethics, 8 in communication. I understand that Mr. Ortiz has indicated that he's just recently taken ethics or communication. For what it's worth, he's offered that information in case you wanted to different course matter, but there's no, just because he's taken them doesn't mean he can't take them again because you've asked him to. But
It's still a discipline because I'm still wasting money on something that I'd already taken.
He can apply those. He can apply those too.
Does anybody know what a breast looks like?
I've kind of done that.
Does anybody know what a breast look, where the breast is, and where the pectoral muscle is?
Right now. So
the fact is, I didn't violate
this right now. So,
okay. Does everyone on the board understand the motion? Should I recite it? Do you have it?
Second.
Who seconded it?
We haven't had a second yet. I just proposed it.
John Ortega, I second.
Roll call, or?
It's non-disciplinary, so you don't need to.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. So moved.
And then you may have a little script. Conclusion is at page 2 in 3B.
B. You will receive the necessary documents in the mail. If you have any questions, please call board staff at the board office. This concludes our formal interview.
I seriously hope a woman doesn't accuse you of rape.
We're going to take 5 minutes at least. So, start in 5 minutes. It's 11:31. So we're going to restart. It's 11:40 now. This is investigative files. Board to review, discuss, and take possible action on investigation files, including any complaints, respondents' response, medical records, investigative reports, and any other documentation received in the course of the investigation for the following files. File 19-120, Michelle Thomas. No, we don't have him, so we don't have... Well, we have you. Mr. White?
All right. Joe Thomas, license number MT-12-035, case 19-120. I'm failed to notify the board of arrest.
Okay. Michelle, you want to give us a quick overview on that?
I was in an accident December 28, 2017, and I didn't start the court process until August of 2018, and then I was sentenced for jail October 16 for 14 days, and I personally didn't know I was supposed to notify the board about being arrested.
Okay.
I also did 90-day inpatient rehab January 11, 2018 to April 12, 2018. And I'm also in intensive probation, DUI court, for 2 years. So I'm doing that as well right now.
Michelle Thomas?
Are you currently in therapy of some kind? Or
I attend group 3 times a week. It's mandatory okay. with the probation that I'm on.
Okay. Not Mr. White. Mr. Rain? Do you want us to go into section on this? Or what is the...
Well, without getting into my memo... I would just say that I don't know what was discussed about the failure to notify on time. That's addressed in the investigative report. It was the details of the arrest, if that might give rise to further concerns. Sounds like you've just heard from her on that.
Yes.
You may want to go into executive session for legal advice on this, but that would... My advice would have been more towards... considering those other issues in addition to the failure to report. And like, obtaining enough detail to make a decision. If you're comfortable, you have enough detail to make a decision, then that's all I would recommend.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add?
I have never been in trouble in my life, so I'm just like... working all these kinks out and trying to do the best I can.
Mr. Chairman. Michelle, she indicated herself that she didn't know that she needed to notify us about the conviction, and my problem is fundamentally, when you get a license in the state of Arizona, there's certain things you have to do as a license holder, period. There's no if, there's no maybe, it's you shall. And it's
that's my
rather clear.
That's my bugaboo, too. This whole I didn't know I wasn't supposed to tell the board drives me crazy.
So this is an interview, so we have all
no.
those.
This is not an interview.
Huh?
It's an interview.
It's yeah.
Oh, it isn't. Okay, I thought he was looking for a script.
I apologize. Sure.
Well, but I was looking, isn't that...
Yeah, you have the option to forward it to formal interview or formal hearing to dismiss or to offer a consent agreement in, if not accepted, do one of those.
Consent agreement to give us some more classes in ethics.
Yep.
And business practice. Yeah, and business practice more than ethics, yes.
You know, I think
specializing in telling
disciplinary
the board
or non-disciplinary.
I think non-disciplinary is fine.
I would agree. I think the courts are probably dealing with
major
quite strongly, and we just want you to stay in compliance with what we need to have done.
So, how many hours?
16.
Mm-hmm. So that's high or low?
A little high, but
okay, then we can go into more.
I was thinking 12.
That's fine.
12.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of classes are out there, but
well, ethics would be
ethics.
The first priority.
Right.
I did do a substance abuse online this past month as well. That's only 3 CEUs.
It'll probably, since what we usually do when it's here, with all due respect, it's probably going to be an in-classroom class. So it's going to be some kind of an in-classroom. So.
Okay.
And in addition to?
In addition to the extra, okay.
Right.
So business or ethics?
And. I want at least 6 hours in ethics.
Okay.
And 6 hours in either communication, business practices, something to handle herself professionally.
Okay.
Live or in person. And then how much time?
A year.
Yeah.
But this is non-disciplinary.
Right.
We need a formal motion?
You will. I mean, this is the motion, I understand.
All right. Just making sure.
And if not accepted, proceed to formal interview?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you made that motion?
Yes.
I second it.
Okay.
5 hours. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Come on. Michelle, I'm going to send you, make sure you sign and send it back.
Okay. All right.
I'm just going to say something publicly. It's not pertaining strictly to you. It applies to anybody that comes up here because we see this frequently. You guys need to understand, when you get a license, you got to pay attention to these kind of details or it gets you into trouble. Not us, you. Okay?
Good
to go.
Yes. Good luck.
Yep. Good to go.
It'll be a few days before you get it.
Okay.
We're still in 5C, number 2, Robert Boyle. Mr. White?
Yes. This is Robert Boyle. I'm license number MT 18359.
Okay.
Would you like care to give us a... well, first, is there...
Is the complainant here?
Yeah, is the complainant here? She's not here. Okay. Yeah, thought about that. Would you like to give us a an overview?
There are really inconsistent bits of information that she supplied. I was trying to get an attorney to subpoena the booking records. She said it happened in 2017. It actually happened towards the end of 2015, near 2016. She said she was in the room by herself. It was a couple session, as I put in my response there, that it was a couple session with another therapist. I've given her name and her license number there.
Okay.
So she came. She said I had seen her several times on the press report and on the letter from the board here. She said that she had seen me twice. That's incorrect. I only ever saw her once in the 2015 to 2016 period. She came in with a man for a couple session. I assume that was her husband. And as I said in my response, she was an extremely obese woman. I wanted to protect her integrity, so I spent the whole energy, my whole focus, and the actual massage on the draping.
Do we have the police report?
No.
I have a copy of the police report.
Well, the prior question, we just need to know whether to move this forward.
Yes.
Formal interview or formal hearing or dismiss. Or a
If I may speak, I would like to present to the board here further information regarding my response. I didn't include it in the letter. I was extremely embarrassed. And it was a medical issue, so I don't know if there were legalities around that regarding violations. I have, at the time of 2015, April of 2015, I had a protruding inguinal hernia in my groin. I didn't have medical insurance at that point. I lived with constant pain. A friend at my gym recommended using a compression support to relax it, and there was no way physically or no way medically that I could have an erect penis in that period. I didn't have surgery until March the 26th, 2018. So here's a generic diagram of the extent of the hernia that I had.
Yeah, they don't need to necessarily have that now.
No, I'm just saying, but
sure.
Or will they? You'll get it, actually. Okay. So the question now is...
Well, I understand the respondent had some medical records to substantiate the statement he just made, that he could provide the staff as well as the police report.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, I'd like to say also that I would like time to find an affordable attorney and subpoena the booking records to show that this woman did come in 2015, 2016 with her husband, or the gentleman that she was with.
To a formal interview.
I do understand that, Andrew, unless I'm wrong, that BW is available and willing to participate, if yes, not here today.
So is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay. John's formal interview.
Interview?
Bill Beard, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. So moved. So that'll give you a time. Basically, what that's going to do is it'll be moved. Is that my place?
Well, you were in the audience for the last formal interview. That one was a little different than usual, but it's something short of a formal hearing. At a formal interview, they may impose up to a revocation or a suspension, but not that high. If they want anything further, they would have to then schedule a formal hearing. They can also dismiss and take all the other options, but it'll be a quasi-formal return visit where mm-hmm. you anticipate the complaint to be available to you. You can submit your written documents to the board staff the same way you submitted your response, mm-hmm. and they'll notify you as to the date for the time you'll come back.
Can we just note for the record there that I'm booked a flight to New Zealand. My father is dying of cancer there. So I booked that in November, and that is for me basically the whole month of March. So,
I don't know if that changes any of the board staff, but we would typically work with the licensee on scheduling,
right.
depending on how long
right.
it is. So
oh,
the staff can discuss that with you. When do you leave?
The 4th of March.
Okay, so, but you could meet before then if they could get it in February.
Or after.
We can discuss with staff if it seems like it may be beyond the month of March, and if it's not till April, would that, knowing that, does that change anyone's?
No,
that's fine.
It's fine.
And regarding subpoenaing the booking records to show that she actually lied, can I get a time frame to do that as well?
Well, you, this is, I'm not aware that you would have any subpoena power in a formal interview.
Well, no, just for the booking records from where it occurred.
Well, staff has heard that. The board can order the subpoena of records or direct staff to conduct any investigations that you deem appropriate. Mr. Boyle has indicated that he would like you to see the booking records from this facility. Would the board like to direct staff at all to attempt to obtain those records?
Yes. We want all that information. Yeah. So.
You don't need to take a vote on that. But,
yep.
Please
do. They have the power to subpoena those. Comply with subpoenas, it depends. If they don't comply, we could have to have the board order us to go to court and enforce that subpoena. But they will attempt to get those records. And
okay.
You can get them by any means, just submit them to them. But otherwise, staff will be in touch to fill you in, and it won't probably be until April that you come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. 5C, number 3, Dusty Van Tilburg.
Are the complainants in this matter present?
The attorney.
Do you plan to address the board, too? Or are you just here to listen? Okay, in case they wanted to call, which order? The complainant's attorney is present if you would like to speak with her, but I wanted to make sure you knew who was here. You wanted to call them in a different order than responding first.
Well, for right now, we just... Okay.
Dusty Van Tilburg, that would be MT02712, case 19-135. That would be sexual assault and sex relations with the client.
Okay. This isn't an interview, so would you like to give us an overview or
yes,
a
I would.
Statement, please?
Yeah. I'd like to start by just acknowledging you and thanking you for your due diligence to the law. It is something that has provided me protection. It is something that I have great value for. I deeply regret my actions and participation in entering into a consensual romantic relationship with J.M., who over a 4-year period had become one of my best friends. We frequently participated in social outings such as retreats, camping, and community gatherings. During that time, we also became mutual clients of each other's as he is a naturopathic doctor. I want to make this perfectly clear. I did not sexually assault, nor did I have any sexual encounters with JM on my massage table or during a massage session. these allegations are completely false. Our relationship did turn into a romantic one after a massage session on 9/28. After the session, in my mind, we were interacting socially as trusted friends. In hindsight, I see now that this is where I allowed the lines between my professional and my personal life to get blurred. I made a mistake here, and I take responsibility for this. I can guarantee you in the future these lines will never be blurred again. Post-session, JM and I sat in one of the large Zen chairs in my studio where we talked about a retreat that we had been at the week prior in Joshua Tree. We frequently shared our personal journeys with each other. I was sharing with him that I was working on clearing energies of past relationships. JM replied that he never saw me with any of the men that I had chosen to be with and that I needed to find a mountain man like him. Later in our conversation, he looped back around and said that the reason why he had never seen me with any of the men that I had chosen to be with is because he could only see me with him. He leaned in to kiss me, and I regrettably reciprocated. This quickly became a passionate encounter, which I have described in detail in my response letter. I had submitted nearly 400 pages of text messages and emails which show that this was absolutely a consensual relationship, one that was not based just on intimacy, but on a deep emotional connection that had developed over the years through our friendship. I wasn't proud about how our romantic relationship was beginning, but I loved him, and I believed him when he told me that he loved me.
Lean back, no offense, if you lean back, that microphone's pretty sensitive, it'll get you.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Sorry.
There's a lot of distortion the closer you are to it.
Okay. I am still in complete shock by these allegations. A little over a week after he told his wife what happened between us, she and I met and had a good emotional conversation with no animosity. So much so that she sent me a text the next day thanking me for all that I am. I have provided a copy of this text in my response letter. I can't help but wonder why these allegations are being made now, over a year later, and by a third party, his wife, not him. Understandably, she is upset, and he is trying to save his marriage. But the story that he is telling her is just not true. The text messages and the emails reflect this. I have not had any communication with him since January 2nd, 2018, when he sent me an email communicating that he needed to cut off ties to salvage his marriage. I'm sharing this with you to show that I did what I could to apologize to her and to honor their decision to work on their marriage. I've been serving the public through the practice of massage therapy for the last 17 years. This is my first complaint ever. I've been blessed to have a blocked schedule with standing appointments for the last 6 years. Most of my clients have been with me for 7+ years. I have disclosed these allegations and what happened between JM and I with many of my clients, whom in response have written letters to you and shown here today, expressing their personal experiences with me, my work, and my studio. These letters are a direct reflection of my professionalism as well as the quality of relationships that I have with my clients that I honor and hold very sacred. In closing, I take responsibility for my part in a consensual relationship with a client, as well as allowing my boundaries between my personal and my professional life to get cloudy. However, the romantic relationship did not start during and was not a result of a therapist-client relationship. It was rooted in a deep friendship that we had cultivated over a 4-year period. It is my hope that all the information provided and the context given will allow you to see the truth about the relationship and how it began. Practicing massage therapy is not just a career to me. It is my soul's calling, and it is how I serve humanity. Thank you.
You're welcome. can we hear from the...
You're welcome to. Have you submitted anything?
Have
you submitted anything in writing?
Yeah, she did.
Okay. But that's not the one that shows.
That's right here.
Okay. Yeah. You guys want to just step down. Back for a second?
Step back.
And then we'll have her come up and just give a...
I don't know where she signs it. Oh, maybe it's part of a complaint. It's part of a complaint.
Okay, yeah, Zimmet.
Okay, again, for the record, my name is Judy Zimmet, and I am the attorney for the complainant, Jason and Alexis McNeil, a married couple.
And we'll just use the initials, please.
I would like to request on behalf of my clients a formal hearing because there is a disparity of facts from what you just heard to what my clients are saying. So I believe we need a formal hearing in order to bring facts to the board. In our records, the reason why we are requesting a revocation disciplinary act is because violation of Arizona statutes 32-42538-10-11-13-15-16. There are multiple violations, and we would like the board to address those in a formal setting. Thank you.
Now, have you been retained by JM or by the couple itself, by JM and his wife?
Both.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Any other questions for you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So, we're not the relationship police, so your relationship really isn't here or there for us. Our main focus is, did you have sex with a client during a therapy session?
And the answer to that is no. It was after the session.
In the same room?
Yes.
You hadn't left the studio yet.
We had not left the studio, no.
Yeah.
The session was complete. Jason had been dressed, and we moved to one of the chairs I have in the studio, which is where this occurred.
Needs a formal hearing.
Give it
unless we can get a consent agreement.
Oh, excuse me. Thank you.
What would you want a consent agreement on?
The complainants are demanding revocation. Is anybody contemplating that right now?
I'm not.
Okay. So then that means we got to go to a formal hearing.
Go to a formal interview.
Go to any deal, we can get a consent agreement right now. These things keep...
There was a police report or not?
No.
Okay.
No.
I just clarifying, we've talked about a lot of different things today, just making sure.
I think her main problem is she blurred the lines.
Yeah.
I think it's also consenting well.
And so did he.
Yes.
Yeah.
She didn't.
He knows the professional. He's a naturopath. He knows the professional.
That's right.
Boundaries too.
Right.
Both professions adhere to those same right. Ideals and ethics.
Once, I'm not discouraging anyone, but once the partner is involved in the complaint, it's a whole different thing.
And even like. I mean, if you go to a lot of code of ethics, most code of ethics, I mean, there are some code of ethics that say, so there's several different organizations, but some say you don't get into relationships. Some say if you've had previous relationships, there's a thing. And some say, you know, having a relationship is out of integrity is, you know, if they've been a client within 6 months.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm saying code of ethics. Our laws state that we adhere to national approved code of ethics. And like in the NCB, I know it's 6 months. One six months.
That still isn't in our statute.
No, I'm saying, but our statutes say that we follow nationally approved code of ethics. So, I'll find it for you.
Not in our statutes. It's not important to me.
So, your bottom line for a consent agreement?
Probation, naturally. Continuing education.
How many hours?
It's at least 16, maybe more like 24.
Consisting of?
Ethics. Business practices. Ethics. Business practices.
And more ethics?
What more do you think she needs?
I don't know. I'm asking. It's a question.
Okay.
Bill, how do you feel about it? I'm not. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. Or do you feel it needs to be brought forth and more information and have all the parties there to explain it? Because it may come down right down to the same thing that you're right at, too.
If this is another he said, she said, and it's just a matter of they walked across the room,
if I may.
No.
Sorry. Hold on to it, though.
I would even go with spending a license for 90 days. That's the bug of it.
When is she due for renewal?
September of this year.
This year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 90-day suspension with probation lasting how long?
Well,
I'd say a year.
I would go to probation and classes, but if you guys want to do that too, I'm...
Is the probation extended after the 3 months or concurrent?
Well, this is your guy's suspension, so you have to answer that one.
You want to do suspension? If you're going to go for suspension,
if it's a consent agreement,
if you're going to go for suspension, I would go to a formal interview and get everybody's case, get more talk. You only have the minimum here.
Agreed. So you're wanting to offer consent agreement with probation. You're wanting to
and classes.
You're wanting to do a suspension.
I am not set on suspension. I have entertained it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just entertained it too. Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Ange, since it's been a request, do we have any?
No.
We have no.
No.
It's your role.
Huh?
The request for a formal hearing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's noted.
It's mandatory.
It doesn't change your...
It doesn't change.
Yeah. I just... We like to always be... I always like to be informed.
So yours was a formal motion there, Mr. Ortega?
Okay.
Yes, that's...
I haven't heard of formal motion at all. Yeah.
Well, no, it's been a... Mr. Ortega,
are you withdrawing it?
I'm withdrawing it for now, so we can finish. I don't know that we have a meeting of the minds yet.
Yeah, we need a meeting of the minds.
Yeah, well, and it's not necessary you have that before you make the motion. So
I know.
You can just have a feeling about what they think is appropriate and say it.
There's been strong allegations
There's also been admittance on both sides that it was consensual.
Right. And we're walking into a marital affair.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're not the relationship police.
If you're drawing a line at that, I would agree. 24 hours of ethics business with a probationary period of 12 months.
So why we're here, and I'm not interviewing, keep thinking on that, but the reason we're doing this, because isn't that what we want? We want a reason why we're given disciplinary action. The reason we don't want to get into an affair, but what
she
happened,
she crossed the lines in her professional.
She didn't even leave the building yet.
No. So if that hadn't happened, I would have just asked it to be dismissed.
Right.
I would have. But
I don't know if this matters, but
no,
Jason
please,
and I.
No, please, okay. We don't need you. Okay. We don't need any more testimony.
Okay.
And that's where I stand with John.
Right.
Is that, you know, what two adults do consenting is their business.
But how quickly it happens.
We must divide our professionalism from our personal life. And mm-hmm. to go from the treatment room and get dressed to the chair, it's a little close for me.
Right.
That's why I think the hours.
Because it gives other people permission.
But
that,
you're,
you know.
So you're saying suspension or no suspension?
I think probation and hours.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move we offer a consent agreement of 12 months probationary period consisting an additional 24 hours of continuing education with a strong emphasis in ethics and or business practices, but strong emphasis on ethics. I don't know that there needs
24.
In addition to
the regular normal, yes. Anything else?
Completed within the 12 months?
To be completed within the 12 months.
Mm-hmm. And
I would like to ask a question here. And will we be able to find that many in-house? Can part of them be done online?
Yeah, I think with that many, maybe
okay.
part of them should be done
okay.
online.
Okay.
I might suggest the ethics be in person or live webinar. If the business practices.
Do you want to split the 24?
Yes, that would be easier, I think.
Right.
Okay, fine.
At least 12 in ethics in person.
In person or live webinar.
12, right.
And 12 business practices.
And if it's not accepted, it goes to formal.
If it's not accepted, it goes to formal hearing.
Formal hearing.
Formal hearing?
Yes.
Or interview?
Hearing, I would say.
Hearing? Okay, hearing.
Okay.
Here, a second.
John Ortega, I second.
All in favor?
1A.
Oh.
Well, that's free. Yeah. Sorry. If it is accepted, that would be discipline. And so we would.
Bill Beard, aye.
Victoria Bowman, aye.
John Ortega, aye.
Earl Dusky, aye. You'll be.
We will draft up a consent agreement to email them and consider whether to accept.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Pretty good. We need a break.
Don't come back.
Plow on through. That's right. You got somewhere to go then. Okay. 5D. License applications for the Arizona Massage Board. Some of these, Mr. Raines, did you want to?
Yeah, I mean, we could go into an executive session on all of 5D if you'd like me to discuss the information I put in my memo, or I could just. As we hit each one. Actually, if you want legal advice.
I move we go into legal into the executive session.
I think there was quite
a bit. Is that for all the items in,
yes,
in D?
Yes.
So we'll make it fairly quick.
You need a second.
Second a motion. I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, let's get this done.
From Nebraska as to the incompleteness of the application.
John Ortega, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. Five D two. And this one was we wanted to get more.
One where I believe you need to obtain the criminal, you
right.
Also obtain the conviction documents to determine the nature of the offense, and perhaps other issues.
But that's all we have is just that there's been.
You have an undescribed felony within right. The last 5 years. I think you need.
We don't even know
to know whether you have authority to issue the license.
And she's on probation until May.
Find out what type of felony it was.
Okay. So, Victoria Bowman, I move that in the application of Molly Green, that we suspend the application and request information from the appropriate agencies as to the
criminal conviction.
Criminal conviction.
And if I may, just
probation.
Instead of the word suspend, it would it'd really just be table.
Table, okay.
Okay.
Table the application until we receive appropriate information.
Okay.
We have a
second.
John Ortega, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Yin Fing.
Yeah, this one had the
questions
answered.
Right.
She had a lack of verification. She had
formal
discipline. Taking
advantage. Oh.
Okay, so.
Was she the woman sitting there? I mean.
No, no,
oh.
Okay.
Nevada State, when she did her verification for life, there said formal disciplinary action, yeah.
But we still need more information.
Well, I'm saying it says yes there, but it says no on our application.
It also says she was charged and arrested with a misdemeanor.
Yes.
But we don't. But we don't have a conviction.
She's written on a couple.
And we don't.
If they say on some of the cases that submitted that she did or something, that means that she did bar. She's allowed to do so. They do.
So you're, Mr. White, you it's been dismissed, the criminal side of it, without a conviction?
Yes. It got dismissed after the 25 hours of community.
And where do you find that information? Is that in the Nevada order?
Yes.
But on her application, then this one, she said no to the misdemeanor involving prostitution.
Yeah. You look down on page 3, and the motion was carried unanimously. You can read down what happened.
Page 3?
Yes.
Yeah. It's finally.
Right, so she said no there, but.
595?
Yeah. There was previous, so there's inconsistencies in that one. So we need that information.
Right.
One, you may want to call her in, request that she appear before the board to discuss her answer of no.
Okay, so we can request information and request her to come.
594.
Yeah.
Okay. So
95.
So you may want to consider obtaining the police report and
right.
Also have calling asking for her to come in.
On right. Page 590.
Okay, so Victoria Bowman, in the application of Ying Fen Su, I would like to move that we request the police report and any other information from Nevada and request that Ms. Su come before the board to explain what happened regarding approval of her license.
Second?
Second, Bill Beard.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. The theme? John Rudd. You have some DWIs and some arrests.
What's that?
You have some. Oh, you have a warrant out on you right now?
I do believe that it's case, yeah.
Okay.
Speak up. What was that?
I do believe that is the case, yeah.
Okay. That's in Arizona?
Yes.
So, could it tell us a little bit?
About the warrant?
About everything.
I don't necessarily know where to start.
Start when you were arrested.
I never was actually arrested, but when I was 19, so 2000, and I'm not good with dates, sorry, 2017, I believe, I got pulled over when I was going to the bank up the street because my headlight was out. And prior to that, about 2 or 3 hours earlier, I had smoked some marijuana. And when I got pulled over, I was pulling into my apartments, and the police officer pulled me over, and he was a DUI officer. So he had seen signs that I was under the influence previously, like due to my eyes or something like that, I believe he said. But I did the field sobriety test, and I believe I failed due to nervousness because I didn't feel like I was under the influence of anything at the time. But I failed the field sobriety test, and he took me to go take my blood in one of those RV things, and then he just took me back home, and I never really heard anything from it since. Like, I've been waiting for mail and all that. But recently I did find out that I had warrants, so I've been, like, I missed out on something somewhere. I missed out on the mail and the original court date, but I'm in the process of getting a lawyer. Unfortunately, they're really expensive and kind of out of my, like, you know, pay. So I'm going through that process now, but other than that, I don't really know much about what's going on with that.
So, with a warrant, we can't.
No, you can't. This came up several months prior. We had interpreted the statute. It talks about being under restriction by another political subdivision of this state or the regulatory body in another state. So that was either that was regulatory discipline. The other basis was if you're on supervised community release or parole. So a warrant is not ground for denial of license. Potentially impairment, use of substance use that might impair the licensee's ability to safely practice is grounds to deny a license. But just a literal warrant isn't.
Can we issue the license with a probationary period and have him come back when it's solved and explain what happened?
Well, you could, except that's disciplinary.
Right. Yeah.
So he's not been convicted of anything.
Right.
Sounds like, you know, that's uncertain what would happen. You may want to try and obtain a copy of the police report, but I think it would probably be a pretty standard DUI from what I'm hearing. But you may want to obtain that before granting the license. You may want to ask the applicant about substance use issues today. The ultimate concern. Or if he is convicted of something, he'll have an obligation to disclose it within 10 days of his arrest or conviction. And you'll probably hear from it as well, perhaps from the court. I don't see grounds to deny the license based on the arrest warrant. It's on the subject matter of the arrest.
Question.
Potentially a future conviction would be grounds to discipline.
Okay.
Have you spoken to the court?
Currently, no. I have not.
Because?
Because
what is it, the idea of a public defender kind of scares me from stories I've heard from other people, so I'm just in the process of getting my own attorney.
Well, that is, neither of those things keep you from calling the court to find out what's going on.
As a
citizen, you can call the court and ask what your warrants are for and all kinds of pertinent information. You don't need a lawyer to do that.
Okay.
But I'm asking why you haven't done that.
I didn't necessarily know that's something I can do. I'm not very privy to legal matters. I'm just kind of like trying to figure everything out as I go.
So we don't even know what the warrants are for, though, do we?
No, I think
failure to appear.
I mean, it says
failure to
for
appear. Yeah,
marijuana, drug paraphernalia, and second one is failure to appear for DUI.
Yep.
When was that court?
Dated the warrant was August 14, 2017, and April 18, 2017.
Wow.
That's almost 2 years.
Yeah, that's almost 2 years. And he's never called or anything.
How long ago did you say you were just, when you found out that you had a, how'd you find out you had a warrant?
My brother actually just called me and told me one day.
How did he find out?
He knew I was in the situation, and I guess he just looked it up on the, I guess you can look it up online or something.
What do you mean you were in a situation?
He knew about the situation. He knew I was waiting to hear back from the courts because I had, gotten pulled over.
Yeah.
So I guess he just one day decided to look it up and found that that was the case.
Mr. White, under the warrant, it says DOW, I understand, data warrant, mm-hmm. And then there's DOP. And that's a date in 2022, 5 years out from the warrant date.
What page?
I don't know what this...
Page 620.
620. I just don't know what this information means.
I don't know. I don't know what DOP means.
Okay. I didn't know if, the warrant expires or...
No, the warrant never expired. I don't know what that DOP is. I've never even seen that before.
Okay. Yeah, and I could, it's something 5 years out from the day they issued the warrant. Must be maybe a renewal or something to do with finding another warrant.
Well, we don't have
you want to consider asking the applicant about
find out some more.
I don't know if there's more to find out.
Yeah, based on what Mr. Rain was saying, it sounds like we've got what we need in front of us, and since there's no since a warrant is not something that can keep us from issuing a license, we kind of have to.
It's incredibly irresponsible of him.
I agree. I would.
Years he's had a warrant.
Right.
And if I may, I just would like to reiterate. I think you have an admission by an applicant that he's used an illegal felony. Mm-hmm. It's a felony issue. Like that. And then the DUI. So you may want to inquire with him about his use of it.
Do you currently use?
I do, but I have my medical marijuana.
Yep. So it's not illegal. What have you learned by sitting here today?
In what sense?
Any sense. You're trying to get a massage license, and you've sat with us for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Almost four.
I see that you guys have a strong sense of business and ethics. That's really important to you guys.
Take a license seriously.
Yeah.
The responsibility is on you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not us. You.
And if you change addresses, you did the license and in the application you read all that. So how many days do you have to change your address? Even if you changed your address,
I believe it was 10. Correct, 10, right?
Okay.
We have a responsibility to protect the public.
Mm-hmm.
Because irresponsibility in your personal life has a way of spilling over into professional life, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I go back to the original assessment that it was, it's a warrant, but There doesn't appear to be anything else substance to hang on it. Mr. Chair, Bill Beard, I move we grant the license.
Julia Bowman, I will second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I would suggest, Sean, just as a personal observation, you don't come back before this board for anything.
Yeah.
You can get your CEs. You sit quietly in the back.
And real quick, if I might,
over here,
if you get convicted.
They work in an office. You call if you have any questions.
If you get convicted, because this isn't going to go away, you have an obligation to notify the board within 10 days of the date of the conviction, not the date of the hearing, conviction.
Okay.
Yeah. Your brother found it for you, so maybe he can help you figure out how to get it taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Carly Salazar?
Carly.
Carly.
Carly. Carly. Sorry. Not here. That's the one. She has arrests that are, we don't really understand what they are.
Who is this?
Aggravated driving. DUI drugs, paper, and combination.
You may want to, just because of the extensive criminal arrest and other substance abuse, consider inviting the applicant in prior to granting any license.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I would move that we table any further action on the applicant, the application until we hear from the applicant himself. Okay, herself.
John Ortega, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So moved. 70E, 5E1, unlawful use of massage therapy designation, unlawful practice, 19-134, Rod Lyman.
Lyman has not made any contact. His license is expired, and he has been conducting massage activities without a license for a period of time since 2018.
Mr. Wright, did the mail come back, or do you think?
Oh, your mail came back. Okay.
So
all mail has come back?
Everything.
Okay.
All of it came back.
How do you verify that he's been doing massage practice?
Oh, individual without telling on. Pardon? Individual without telling on.
Oh, individuals are telling on.
Yeah. In fact, if I can note.
Oh, there we go.
Real quick on page 668, they've asked not to be identified even by initials.
You know, your options, because this is a licensee, some odd jurisdictional issues out there. Boards can continue complaints that they've begun before the person's license expires, but there's some jurisdiction after their license has expired. So I think you may lack jurisdiction to bring a standard disciplinary action. Practicing on an expired license could be grounds for discipline. But your other option is an injunction. It sounds like even if you scheduled a hearing and brought him in and said, here's a fine for practicing, or suspended him, or did anything, he wouldn't show. So perhaps you might consider an injunction.
Why? Is that, or he's moving? He's just not getting anything.
It may be hard to find for an injunction, but we would give it a shot.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move we request that an injunction be filed against Rod Lyman, file number 19-134, performing massage therapy without a current license.
John Ortega, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Magic feet?
Magic feet, and there's actually two of them.
Magic feet.
Why is... Oh, because it's two different locations,
it's two
right?
Different locations, but they were in compliance. They had license.
So we have Magic Feet Reflexology and Magic Feet Rejuvenation.
Yeah, they had license.
Oh, so they now have licenses?
No.
They had license from the beginning, which is their reflexology location, and people are saying they were doing full body without license. They brought in license in with directly to me.
Okay.
So at least one individual at the
two from one and one from the other. Yeah.
So why are we seeing this again?
Because once we issue the notice, they have to respond to it.
So do we dismiss this?
Well, you can't bring an action, like the entity you don't regulate. You could bring an injunction matter for anyone at that place that isn't properly, you know, practicing under their license. Right. They don't have. Or they're not doing one of the exceptions, you know, for education, one of your licensure exceptions. You wouldn't bring it against the, I think these are the principals of the entity that Andrew's referring to, like the owners. What I understand is happening is people are alleging at these reflexology places that a lot more than foot massage is going on, but there are individuals that run those establishments that have massage therapy licenses, but they also have other employees aiding and abetting other people to engage in unlicensed practice is a violation of one of your statutes. So you may want to consider opening an investigation against the individuals who do hold license for aiding and abetting others. But I don't see that you have grounds really for an injunction, because the only people we know about have licenses. We'd have to find out who's there working. We don't know yet. And or, you know, there's people there licensed. You don't, you know, you have some online reviews that say massage is happening. It could be from the licensed people.
Right. The only thing that caught me off guard was I read one of them, and it just said for some reason they had somebody come in after the massage and change people.
Okay.
So, either the licensed people or, you know.
Well, you can forward this to, as boards have to open up a complaint to investigate potential aiding and abetting of unlicensed practice, or you could close it. It opened as a unlicensed practice, but the only individuals we have actually identified did have licenses. There's we've identified that doesn't have a license. Yeah.
We didn't investigate beyond the three individuals, or how many ever.
Yeah, we don't have inspection power.
So gotcha. Okay.
Now, you could, if you were to open up an investigation over the licensee for aiding and abetting, perhaps you could conceivably get information as to who's employed there, what their license, what they do.
And
it's a phishing. That would be phishing to see what's going on there.
Right.
It's bad. It's just.
Is that under our authority?
The licensees are under your authority, and it appears they're running a place for reflexology that may be doing more than reflexology, which.
Right.
It's
okay.
Totally fine if the only people who do massage are the ones that are licensed.
Well, their menu says that they do full body massages.
But we don't have any information that that isn't being performed.
By the individuals that are licensed, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We don't have that. We don't have any substantiation that.
Again, my only thought that I saw from the investigation was that potentially you would have reason to investigate whether the licensees were aiding and abetting unlicensed people to practice massage. But
that would really
evidence to support that.
And that would really take like an inside person or something like that too.
Well, we would probably have to subpoena employment records or testimony before the board.
You have nothing better to do.
No, you'd have to find.
You have to find. Go do it.
You got to find evidence you don't have.
Yeah.
But that's where it would happen. You can't go for an injunction, I believe, because you don't have any evidence of any individuals who are practicing massage.
We have suspicions, not. Yeah.
I don't want to recommend that you dismiss it because that's your choice to make. But what I'm saying is, I don't think you should proceed with the injunction. You would have to be going down a path of seeing what's going on there, and then you could try and confirm suspicions.
Make a motion that we dismiss these.
Both. Eat what, two and three?
Two and three.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I'm not used to doing that, Bill.
Aye.
Okay. Yeah. It's two and three.
Oh.
Is
Rod was going to be, we were going to do an injunction on him. Okay. So we are at now F.
One.
Javier Martinez?
Yes.
So Mr. White, I mean, what are we?
So your board order, and I can jump in, required that Mr. Martinez go through an evaluation. He's completed that. And then he's supposed to come back before you when it's complete. It was completed just recently. In fact, we got it, I don't know, just this month. So we put it on the agenda so you could do review the evaluation. He's still under the current order. This is just one of the portions of it.
I see. It was just one of the stipulations.
Right, he comes back before us.
Yeah, he's supposed to come back before he after he does it.
What did he learn?
See, I don't do drugs. And I know, I mean, I've done mistakes, you know, the DUI, I mean, was a great mistake, you know, but I paid for it. I mean, I went through all whatever need to go through, and that included, mental evaluation. And so, I mean, it was very hard for me. I mean, I pay for it. And I was wondering if just going through another mental evaluation was like paying for the same crime twice. You know I neglected to tell you. You know, I apologize, and if that took, or you know, that takes to do it, I'll do it, whatever. But I don't do drugs. I don't do drugs. I'm crazy naturally, or whatever you want to call it, you know.
Okay, go ahead. Well, it says in the rev I read, Ms. Martinez attend substance use peer support groups, AA or SMART recovery, at least once a week for a period of 6 months.
Are you doing that?
Doing what?
Attending AA or some other?
No.
You're not?
No, I mean, if I have to do it, I'll do it, you know. But I don't.
Did you do that previously as part of your court order?
Yeah, not AA.
The evaluation.
Yes, not AA.
I
went through a mental evaluation and.
But as part of your DUI,
did he take a class in ethics?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've been here for 40 years about, and I was my first.
And if it may up the board, because you don't do a lot of these evaluations, but a lot of our other agencies
right.
Pretty frequently, is it pretty typical to just send it out for the evaluation when you have concerns and then to issue follow-up orders to comport with what the evaluator recommended?
Okay.
The evaluator's recommendation here doesn't include any further practice restriction, anything
no.
of that nature.
All right.
Not unsafe to practice. I think there is some recommendation.
An ethics course.
Which you've already ordered.
Yes.
Okay.
Have you completed the continuing education?
What?
Board ordered.
Which one?
The board's order included, I thought, 8 hours.
Oh, no, not yet.
Okay, well, when he completes that, then he would have done what's already been ordered.
get the evaluation and do the ethics, and he could request termination of his probation.
The evaluation.
So he just basically came back for the first step, saying he's completed the.
Yeah, that was part of our.
And the evaluator goes to make some recommendations. You can consider whether you want to order those, and those would include that he attend substance abuse peer support groups, AA type groups, for once a week for 6 months,
right,
and that he. I think it says to update the board somewhere. I thought that was in this paragraph, but somewhere else. I think it says to show the board he did that. And then also to do the ethics, but that's already part of your order.
Right. So you're not taking any drugs?
No. When I was 13, my father died, and my mother already had died. And the neighborhood where I was living, it was full of drugs. So I ran away from the neighborhood, and I seen my peers, the people of the same age, doing drugs, and I came back and I see the kids or other kids, but when I was in elementary school, the teachers tell me or tell us not to use marijuana, especially marijuana was a good, and I was afraid of. And one time I used marijuana maybe about 40 years ago, so I tried it. I experimented. I believe personally that marijuana is very bad drug. And I see in people, marijuana keeps you away from your goals. And that's what I see. And I don't do drugs.
But you
say, and when you say physical mental evaluation, I thought I was going to go through a physical examination, but whatever you say, I'll do it. But I don't do it. My drugs are too light. I like to dance. I like to jog, to.
Okay. And you still drink though?
Well, socially.
Okay.
There may be nothing for the board to do at this time. He would just need to complete his
ethics. Yeah.
And then appear before the board to terminate his probation.
Right.
But the evaluator recommended that Martinez go to AA once a week for a period of 6 weeks.
Six months,
excuse me. You don't need to adopt that, but you could. And modify your order to include that requirement. But to me, that's really your option today is to whether to accept the evaluator's recommendations or to accept Mr. Martinez's existing.
If I take two beers right now, you can taste me, and I probably be above the limit of being drunk.
So what do you guys want to do?
Well, you know, it says here on page 765 his use of alcohol and marijuana have caused him to place himself and others in hazardous situations. However, this appears to have been an isolated incident. I would just like to ask him to complete the hours. I don't see a need to put more stipulations on him.
The hours for.
I agree with that.
Yeah, just
with our original order.
Complete our original order. We requested 8 hours of CEs. Of CEs to just complete those, and then we're all good.
Right.
But
I agree with that.
Okay. I agree.
Do you understand that the 8 hours of continuing education they had already ordered?
Yes. Yes.
You can get three.
Do we even need a motion right now?
No. No. Yeah. Okay.
So, and you understand, they're just saying all you got to do is finish what's in the order, 8 hours.
And
yes,
and
thank
we're
you.
And then you have to notify the board that you did that.
Correct.
And those are in addition to whatever regular CEUs you would normally.
Excuse me?
That would be, those 8 hours are in addition to whatever continuing education you keep.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And if you notify staff when that's done, your order has a provision for early termination. You could be done with probation.
Okay.
Okay, can you repeat that, please?
Well, and board staff can fill you in after today, but basically they issued an order, told you to get that evaluation. You did that. It also required you to do the 8 hours of continuing education, and it said when you're done with these requirements, you could ask to be terminated from probation.
Okay.
So all that's remaining now is that they don't order anything new, and no one's going to do that, it looks like, is to finish those 8 hours, tell the board, and then you'll be done. Right.
Correct. Good to go.
That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, and you get 3 hours to come here. To
Roderick Grandry?
Right.
Sign the list.
Sign the list.
Roderick.
Sign.
Wait. Roderick.
Oh, okay. What
is that? Oh, you're almost
there. Oh, God. Oh, this is the guy that says he can't find the hours.
Yes.
Okay. So is he in? He's in non-compliance.
I think he's trying to find a class that is just titled communications and.
Oh yeah, so
draping.
And draping.
Sorry, so I'm not his advocate. I'll just try to tell you what he's asking because he's not real clear. He's trying to. Hey, Tony. He doesn't have to be here anymore either. If you want to give him a certificate. So he's requesting, because he's got so many hours to take in his order, and it's on page 779 of the order, that he has to take 8 hours of continuing education in communication and draping. He's saying that he can find, he took an in-person course already, and he got 4 hours for that. There's like a part two to that that is like a correspondence course, but it's just on his own time that he can take. And then he's saying that he's gone through all this other stuff to look for courses and he can't find a total of 8 hours live. So he's asking for a waiver from you. He asked us to approve it. We told him we can't because your order requires live classroom setting. If you want to deviate from that, you got to ask the board to basically not modify, because we won't modify the order, but basically allow him to take like a correspondence course, something that's not live, to fulfill the obligation of the order.
If I may, is it simply because he's looking for too specific a class?
It's very likely. But he's not here to answer the question. Yeah. So.
So we gave him communication, draping, and ethics.
No, I think it was just communication and draping.
It's 8 hours of continuing education and communication and draping. So he went and met, I don't even remember the guy he met with, but some guy taught him whatever he teaches class. He teaches CE on it, Jimmy something, I think.
Jimmy, yeah.
And he, this guy said, there's generally not a lot in draping. That you can take other courses and correspondence, and he said I have another course that I think it's on a CD-ROM that I can give to you. He didn't give it to me; he bought it first. But I wasn't a fan of. I just told him to write this, Mr. Grandy. I said, please write what you've done so far and what you're asking, and give us the course content. If you look at page 776, the course content at the at-home study. I think those are his words. I was asking him to send us a syllabus of what the course was, and maybe he just misunderstood, but it's still in your hands. If you want to waive the 4 hours and approve of this 4-hour home study course. He's already done four. If you don't approve it, he's got to find four more between now. Actually, he doesn't even have much time. I think his order ends in February, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least this portion of it. He has to do the CE like within 6 months or something like that.
Draping is hard to find. I admit that.
Communication.
What?
Communication. I don't know.
Communication's a little easier, but
you guys order a lot more than 8 hours in person.
Yeah.
Frequently.
Yep.
Well, and I know the school I used to be with, was they had like 16 hours, and they had a 32-hour course in it. I mean, you know, so there were several classes. But the word draping, because they considered draping taught in each class. So if you took Swedish, draping was taught in Swedish.
One option, I mean, could be to reaffirm. I mean, Dr. Bryan wouldn't be the one to do it. The board staff is delegated some discretion to approve things that are literally a class called draping.
Right.
I think
right.
That could be the just. I'm sure there's 8 live hours of communication out there to be had in either communication and draping. And he's already done 4. He only needs to find 4 hours.
What about
if we allow him to get this other 4 hours that's on this thing? He'd be okay?
These would be not live in-person situations. But, yeah.
And you could do that.
He's asking for that, that you let him do this.
How about if we change it to business communication? Get him into a business class for some more professionalism.
So the only option you have is to either grant this course of the home study, which would be waiving the additional 4 hours of live classroom setting, or deny and tell him he has to, maybe to Bill's point, not be so specific in your search and look for something in communication. To change the order to business practice.
Subject to the approval of staff.
You have to do a new order. Yeah.
I think it's okay if he does this one, because this one's got a good core.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead.
Is it brought through Jimmy?
I think it was Jimmy Gaia. I don't know how you say his name.
And am I wrong, Ryan, that this was actually a follow-up to the live class did? It was like part 2, but it was
right.
More on your own self-study follow-up.
Correct.
Right. And so it's by Mr. Groovy. Right.
Yeah, it's G-I-A-L-E-S-I-S or something. I don't know how you say his name.
He's always used
Jimmy Groovy?
Like Groovy.
Oh, really? Is that it? Yeah, it's probably him.
And so you
see what you're walking into?
He's a reputable instructor.
Jimmy is actually on, he is on the committee that helped build the MBLEX.
Oh, okay. So letting
yes.
him
he's extremely reliable.
Letting him yeah. oversee this guy on the 4 hours of self-study yeah. would be a acceptable
he was,
thing.
He was one of the, okay. like I said, he was one of the major forces in building the original MBLEX.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I move that we waive the in-person requirement and allow the additional 4 hours to complete the 8 hours mandated in our order be completed as self-study, assuming it meets all the other stipulations at the discretion of staff.
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Aye.
Okay. We're trying to get it out of here.
Sorry.
Okay.
I only got about 4 hours sleep last night.
College, Los Angeles. We are down to application schools, ATI College. And this definitely isn't on the unapproved schools, right?
We're having a hard time even finding where that is. Somebody said it was posted. It's not.
Okay.
I don't know. And they submitted on page 785. The Bureau of Private Post-Secondary showing their accreditation.
Okay.
So, I mean,
they're recommended for approval.
Yeah.
I'm the one that told you about that.
Is that it? And then the accreditation follows from the whatever it is on page 786.
Yeah, they look good.
And the Department of Education on page 787.
Okay.
So they grant, they're able to do financial aid and all that. So,
Mr. Chairman, Bill Beard, I move we accept the application for recognition for the ATI College of Los Angeles, California.
John Ortega, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Board elections.
Oh.
I nominate Earl Dusky for chair and Victoria Bowman as vice chair. Bill Beard.
Not that you have to take my opinion, and I don't know what the
status.
I've talked to Emily Rajakovic, the governor's policy advisor, on Earl's reappointment. They're still reviewing either applicants or maybe just his application. I have no idea.
Oh, so he's not officially?
There's a possibility that he doesn't get appointed.
Re-nominated?
Right. Yeah. Or reappointed, excuse me, yep.
Sorry.
And then, therefore, if you had him as chair, that could cut. You'd have to do it again later.
Well,
so.
You have to keep mine your vice chair, I guess.
If yeah, just
Chair would automatically take it, right?
Well, this is nominate Vicky then. For chair.
Well, and Bill,
and you could still do it this way.
Fine. I think you just wanted to make sure you had that information.
Yeah, I would like to say to go ahead and still do it that way, and then depending on what occurs, then we can do. I would step up into chair if you did not get reappointed. You do have the opportunity to be reappointed since you've served a partial term and one full term. Yeah. And so I would be willing to step up at that time if it deemed, and then we could have an election for the vice chair position.
Just for now.
My motion stands. Somebody second it.
Nominate, and you accept the nomination. Are there any other nominations?
John's chomping at the bit over there.
Actually, I'm already out of here. I've done 10 years already. Yeah. I'm just here because there's no one to fill the seat.
No. Second the motion.
Yeah, I'm going for my second five.
Well,
second the motion.
Okay, because I don't want to vote for lame duck.
You can call the vote.
All in favor?
Call?
No.
Okay.
No.
I guess.
All right. No, you still need to do the vice chair, right?
No, he did both.
I nominated both.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, he did.
I had chair and vice chair.
All right.
Yeah, he nominated both.
Okay.
And I'm going
Okay.
There we go.
Oh.
Executive director.
So the FSMTB, this is actually free technically, but it's something that you should be aware of. You're the executive director of the board.
Ready to travel, Tom?
Would go to Cleveland.
Cleveland in the middle of April.
If it's where they took us two years ago, which, you know, they use a lot of the same hotels a lot of times.
That was Kansas City.
It's going to be just walking distance from the Rock and Roll Museum. Right off the Lake Erie.
So the Cuyahoga, which caught fire in 1969.
Oh, I know. I lived there in 1969, and I remember that.
I move we...
Oh, I remember. It was...
Since our new...
Well, the lake caught in fire, too. You know that, too.
Send the executive director to be named.
To Cleveland in April.
Give me a second.
Can I get hours for that?
No.
You know what? That will be the FSNTB. That'll be one of your biggest educational things. I mean, you'll learn more there. You'll smooth more there. You'll learn more. I mean, it's just an incredible meeting.
And there should be very little expense.
Did you go to the last
for this board? Yeah, it was awesome. So, and it was in KC.
Huh?
It was in Kansas City. So, oh yeah, we didn't vote. Jeez.
But you're doing.
Yeah, we haven't.
Yeah, don't book the flight yet.
We got a first and a second.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I strongly recommend.
Getting punchy over here.
I put the monthly budget. This is the one that I think I told you we would catch up because they started compiling data at the end of the month, so now you're going to get, it's a month behind, but it's on page 796, and I can't see.
How did I get there?
So it does show all the actuals for the month of December, and then you're still well within your appropriated budget, so unless somebody has any questions, I don't. There's nothing big to report.
Okay.
And then the agency operations. I thought I had already provided these. I talked to Tony, maybe it was April, I'm not sure, but either way, in December, maybe it was just me stating it at the ED report, but I don't know that I listed what your monthly board meetings would be in 2009. We're just going to follow the same... the same monthly. It's the first or the last Monday of the month, with the exception of December. And then we were able to schedule one in September this year versus the two in October. And then the only one that would be in the room across the hall is the October meeting. So it's just informational. If you can't make it, there's nothing that's required that you, if you miss three in a row, you get removed or anything like that. But if you do plan on missing one, if, now that we have a schedule, just let us know and it's easier to plan because we may not have a quorum for if more than one person misses.
Oh, if there's no further business, I move to adjourn.
Actually, one official business. Thank you, Ryan, for your service to this board.
Thanks.
Thanks for letting me.
Education.
I appreciate it.
It has.
Thanks for helping us with the process.
Are you going to still be in this building? I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on the second floor, and I gave Tom access to my floor, so that and I have access to the third floor, so at any time he calls me or comes down or whatever, I'm happy to assist in any way. Because I know there's probably some growing pains, so I even offered that if I think your February meeting's on the 25th.
Yeah.
If he wanted me to come down and co-facilitate, I would. If he doesn't, that's fine too, but either way, I'm happy to help.
How's he feel about that? Co-facilitating?
That is great, yeah. Training wheels don't hurt.
Now you're in the motion.
Okay.
I think we had a motion, but I don't know if there was a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yay!
Okay.